B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Chagiga Daf Beis. We're going to start the very first Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta. Hakol chayovim b'ra'iya, any godel, any mature, healthy, normal adult has the mitzvah of ra'iya, and that is to come to the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. And with him, he brings an korban called Oilas HaRa'iya, which we're going to learn about soon. Chutz Micheresh, Shoita V'Katan, somebody who's a Cheresh, somebody who's, this would be loosely translated as deaf, we'll learn more about that soon. Shoita, somebody who's not, his mind is not right. V'Katan, or a minor. V'Tumtum, or somebody who, it's not clear from his exposed organs whether he's a male or female. Vandragonus is somebody who shares the organs of both a male and a female. Venoshim, women, v'avodim, the slaves she'eino mushuchrorim, they have not been freed. We'll have to see what that's talking about. Hachiger, somebody who's lame. V'hasuma, somebody who's blind. V'achoyle, somebody who's sick. V'azokin, or an elderly person. U'mi she'eino yochil la'alois baraglov, or somebody who's not able to go up from Yerushalayim to the Azara, to the Beis HaMikdash, with on his feet, then he's also exempt from Re'iya, from going and seeing and being seen in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov. Ve'eza u'katan, what is the age of a child, of a minor, that even though he doesn't have any biblical requirement until he's bar mitzvah to go to and do this mitzvah, but from what age is he chinuchable? Is he what we would call the age where we can start educating him with this mitzvah? All the while that he's not even old enough that he can ride on the shoulders of his father when his father's going up to go from Yerushalayim to the Temple Mount, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Harabayis, then that child is too young, and even the rabbinical requirement that the Chachomim put on the father and the mother to educate a child even before he's a godel, before he's bar mitzvah, to do the mitzvahs, if he's not old enough to be able to walk and to at least be taken up on the shoulders of his father, then he's exempt. Divrei Beis Shammai, that's the opinion of Beis Shammai. U'Beis Hillel Oimrim, Beis Hillel argue and say, Kol she'eino yochid le'chuz b'yodoy shel oviv, it's got to be somebody who, if he were a godel, in a godel version of his abilities, he would be required min haTorah to do aliyah l'regel. Then as a child, there's a chiyuv of chinuch. Now what's required for a godel? That he should actually be able to walk from Yerushalayim to Harabayis. So kol she'eino yochid le'chuz b'yodoy shel oviv. If this child cannot hold his father's hand, v'la'alois Yerushalayim l'Harabayis, and walk up from the Yerushalayim to the Harabayis, she'nemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Sholosh Regolim, that the Yomim Tovim are called Regolim, which also has spells the word Raglaim, you've got to be able to walk. Anybody who, and even a Godel, who cannot walk from Yerushalayim to Harabayis, is Potter from Re'iya. So a child who cannot hold his father's hands and walk up is not yet of the age that one is required to educate him to come to the Beis HaMikdash for Aliyah L'Regel. B'Shamay Oimrim, and now we're talking about two of the three korbonos that every person would bring on Yom Tov. One is the Oilas Re'iya, a korban oila one brought when coming to the Beis HaMikdash for Yom Tov. One is the Shalmei Chagiga. There's also the korban Shlomim, which we're not going to, the Shalmei Simcha, which we're not going to discuss now. So, but B'Shamay say, B'Shamay Oimrim, HaRe'iya, the Oilas Re'iya, Shtei Kesef has to cost at least 2 kesef, which is 2 silver coins. It's a third of a dinner. That's the Shtei Kesef HaChagiga, but the Shalmei Chagiga, Mo'o Kesef, it's enough if it just costs 1 mo'o of silver. Beis Hillel Oimrim, Beis Hillel say HaRe'iya, the Korban Oilas Re'iya is Mo'o Kesef, VaHaChagiga, but the Shalmei Chagiga, Shtei Kesef, and we're going to discuss this in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, the opening word, the first word of the Mishnah was HaKol Chayovim B'Re'iya. Everybody's chayav to do the mitzvah of Re'iya, of coming to the Beis HaMikdash. And then chutz besides, and there's a long list of those who are exempt. But the word hakol seems to be not just anyone who's not in the bracket of those who are accepted, okay, from those exceptions, they achayev. There's hakil. It's coming to include something that we may have thought wouldn't be included. Hakil, this word hakil, lasuyemai, what's it coming to include? Says the Gemara, lasuye, we're going to have a number of suggestions. The first one is lasuye misha chetzye eved vechetzye ben chayrin. We saw in the Mishnah that somebody who is an avodim she'ena mushuchrorim. That means we're talking here about an eved, Kenani, a non-Jewish eved. Once a non-Jewish eved is freed, then he's like a geir, a convert, and he's chayev in all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Whilst he's still a proper eved she'ena mushuchrorim, he has the same status as women do. The question is, what happens if you've got somebody who's chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chayrin, which means maybe he belonged to two people and one of them freed him. However this happened, you've got this person who half of him, monetary-wise, half of him belongs to himself, he's a free man, but half of him belongs to his master. So somebody who's chetzi eved chetzi ben chayrin, I may have thought that since part of him is an eved, He's exempt from Re'iyah. That's why it says Hakil. No, even he is Chayev for Re'iyah. We have to understand, how can it be? There's a part of him which is a slave. And we said that slaves, Avodim She'ena Mushukhrarim, are exempt because he's like a woman. He's not completely Chayev. So how can he be Chayev? We're going to discuss that in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, okay, if you just read the first words, Hakil Chayovim Bir'iyah, it includes even somebody who's half a slave and half a free man. But Ulravina de Omar, but Ravina explains that the reason that the Mishnah, two lines later, says that one of the exceptions, one of those who are exempt of mitzvah sri'iyah, is avodim she'ena mushuchorim. It doesn't just say avodim, slaves. We take it for granted, slaves are not freed. No, avodim she'ena mushuchorim. So Ravina says that those words are teaching us that you're only exempt if you are the Omar, Misha Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chayrin, Potur Min Ar'iyah. That a slave, if there's any level of Eino Mushukhrorim, if there's any part of him which is not free, he is still exempt of Ar'iyah. So Ravina reads into the Mishnah of Avodim She'eino Mushukhrorim that this Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Chayrim, even though only half of him is a slave, is exempt from Ar'iyah. So how can you say Hakil Chayovim Bar'iyah? The word Hakil is including that he's chayav for Re'iyah if he's chetzi eved chetzi ben chayrim. Hakoil asuye mai. So if the word hakoil is not including chetzi eved chetzi ben chayrim, that he's chayav, because Ravina explained avodim she'eino mushuchrorim says that chetzi eved chetzi ben chayrim is potur, what's the word hakoil coming to include? Says the Gemara suggestion number two, la'asuye chiger b'yom rishon. If somebody's a chiger, if somebody's lame on the first day of Yom Tov, and then v'nispashet, he became healthy b'yom sheni, on the second day of Yom Tov, because Yom Tov is a long Yom Tov. There's a whole week of Sukkot, a whole week of Pesach. So what happens if he was a chigir b'yom rishon? So I may have thought, maybe he's exempt. No. Hakil chayovim b'ri'iyah, since on day two he's healthy, or some point during Yom Tov he became healthy, then he is chayev to, when he becomes healthy, he is chayev to come to Beis HaMikdash and to bring his oilas ri'iyah. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's actually a machlekes. It's a machlekes amiroim. Let's see. Honi chalaman de Omar, we're going to learn about this later on Daftes. According to the opinion that holds, kulon tashlumin ze leze, which means that any day could be a day that you become required to come to the Beis HaMikdash. It could be on day one. If you were not chayev on day one because you were lame, and on day two you're chayev on day two. And if you don't bring it on day two, you have to bring it on day three. If you were not chayev on day two because you were still lame, and on day three you became well, on day three you're chayev. If you didn't bring it on day three, you'll have to make it up on day four, and on, etc. So if you say kulon tashlumin zeh lezeh, that every day of Yom Tov, if you become able to be required at that point, you become chayev at that point, then I can understand how the words hakol chayovim b'ri'iyah are teaching us exactly that. That even though on the first day when Yom Tov came in, you were exempt, nonetheless, since you became well, some point during Yom Tov, you now become chayev. That's hakol chayovim b'ri'iyah. Elo lamand omar, according to the other opinion on Daftes, kulon tashlumim derishoin, that all the days of Yom Tov are only a tashlumim for the first day, which means the first day is the only day that determines are you chayev or potur. if you were chayev, then if you didn't bring the korban, then all the days of Yom Tov are days where you can bring, you can catch up and bring the korban that you were required to bring on day one. But this opinion holds that if on day one you are not chayev, then no later point can you become chayev during Yom Tov. If so, the question comes back: what's hakol chayovim bereiya? All the days of Yom Tov are just tashlumim to make up for the korban you required on the first day. Says the Gemara, a third suggestion. If somebody is blind in one of his eyes, and we're going to learn more about blindness later on. But if somebody's blind in one of his eyes, then he's still chayev to bereiya. So this that it says in the Mishnah on the third line, v'hasuma, that a blind person is exempt of re'iya, that's only if he's blind in both eyes. If he's blind in one eye, hakol chayovim bereiya, they're all required with re'iya, even this person who's blind in one eye. However, u'deloi ki haitana, it's not like the Tana in the following braisa. Tanya Yoichanon ben Dehavoi Oimer Mishum Reb Yehuda, who said in the name of Reb Yehuda, Suma ba'achas me'enav, if a person is blind in one eye, potur min ha'ria, he's exempt from ra'ia. And then the question will come back, hakil, what's the hakil? Shenemar, where does Reb Yehuda learn this from? So it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Sholosh pa'omim bashon, or three times a year, which is referring to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, Yei ra'eh kol zuchurcha el p'nei ha'odoin Hashem, that a person should be seen in the Beis HaMikdash by Hashem. Now the word Yei ra'eh, that's the way we read it. But if you were to take away the vowels that we know are instructing us on how to read it, the letters themselves could read Yir'eh, see, which means that the same letters, Yud, Resh, Aleph, Hey, it could be pronounced as Yir'esi, it could be pronounced as is the correct way of pronouncing it, and that is Yeiro'eh, is to be seen. And we know in the Torah there's a rule of Kri and Ksiv, that we take seriously not only the way it's pronounced, but also the way it's written, that in a way that can be pronounced otherwise. So it says Yir'eh and Yeiro'eh, you've got the Kri and the Ksiv. K'derech Sheba Lirois, in the same way as Hashem comes to see the person in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the Yeiro'eh, that the person is being seen by Hashem, Kach bo Lirois, so to Hashem is coming to be, Kach bo Lirois, so to Hashem is coming to be seen by the people when they come to the Beis HaMikdash, and he is being experienced by people. And we compare the Hashem being seen by us, Yeiro'eh, and us seeing Hashem Yireh, we compare them. Ma lirois b'shtei einov, in the same way as when Hashem sees us, he does it, so to speak, with a full vision, so to speak, with two eyes. Af lirois, when Hashem is being seen and experienced by us, b'shtei einov, it's got to be with both eyes of the person, and therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, if he's blind in one of his eyes, he's exempt from ri'ya. V'ibois eima, you could suggest, I mean, the last suggestion was suma ba'achas me'enov, and not like Reb Yehuda. V'iboy seima, it could be la'olam kedomrinon mi'kara. We can go back to suggestion number one, that the hakol is including misha chetzye eved chetzye ben chayrim. Somebody who's half a free man is required in the ri'ya. You asked a question, the kokashi l'chahod Ravina. The Ravina said that the reason it says in the Mishnah two lines later, avodim she'inam mashuchrarim, are exempt, it means if there's any part of the person that is a slave, he's exempt, even if it's just half of him, then that would be contradicting what we're saying, hakel chayovim bereiya. The answer is loy kashya. It's true that it's a contradiction, but it's not a question. Why? Because it's actually two stages we're about to see, that Bis Hillel at first assumed that a chetzi eved, chetzi ben chayrin, has at least the status of half an eved, half a slave, in which case, that's why the Mishnah says, avodim she'enu mashuchrarim, that, and Ravina explained, it means that if he's even just half a slave, he's exempt. However, at some stage later on, Bis Hillel said, no, even somebody who's half a slave, he has the status of being completely freed. So they didn't want to change the Mishnah, because once the Mishnah has set in, people remembered the Mishnah, they didn't want to change it, but they added in the word hakil to say that now that Bis Hillel has changed their minds and have said that somebody who is half a slave is actually as if he's completely free, therefore from that point on, a chetzi eved, chetzi ben chayrin, is got the din of a free man, and hakil chayovim bereiya, he's going to be chayev tefuria. And that's called the Mishnah Rishonah and the Mishnah Achronah, the first version of Beis Hillel and how they changed their minds. Ditnan we learnt in a Mishnah. Mi shechetzi eved vechetzi ben chayrin. Somebody whose half of him is a slave, half of him is free. Oyved es rabo yoyim echod ves atzmi yoyim echod. So he's free to work for himself half of the time, and half of the time he's got to work for his master. Divri Beis Hillel, that was the opinion of Beis Hillel. Omru lem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, tikantem es rabo. Okay, so you've managed to fix and, so to speak, to make out a deal with his master. He's half a slave, he belongs to his master half, he has to work half for his master. However, you've left him hanging. It's atzmoy lo tikantem. What about himself? Who's he going to marry? How's he going to have children? Lisa shifcha, to marry a shifcha, which is something which an eved knani, a non-Jewish slave, is allowed to marry a shifcha, then he can't wear a shifcha in a yochel because of the part of him which is not a slave. And somebody who's a free man, he's got the halacha of a kosher Yisrael, he's not allowed to marry a shifcha. Baschirim in a yochel, he can't marry a regular free woman because there's half of him which is a slave, and a regular kosher woman is not allowed to marry a non-Jewish slave. Libotil, you're going to say, don't get married? The world was only created in order that we should multiply. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, in Yeshaya, the world was not created in order to be void. It was actually created, the world was formed in order to be inhabited. In order for the tikkun olam, for the world to be able to be functioning and become inhabited, then kofin es rabbi, we force the master, v'oisei ben chayrin, we force the master to free the slave in order that the slave should be able to be a completely free man. However, the slave belongs to the master, which means that the value of half this slave is actually owed to the master. Because of Leishtar, indeed they write a legal document that commits this now freed slave to actually have to pay the master. With time, he has to pay for half of his value, al chetzi dom of half of his value. V'chazu Beis Hillel, l'hoireis kudivrei Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel agreed to Beis Shammai and said that indeed, a chetzi eved, chetzi ben chayrin, we force the master to free him. And after Beis Hillel changed their minds to l'hoireis, to rule like Beis Shammai, at this point, even Beis Hillel, the halacha is like Beis Hillel in almost every case. So now Beis Hillel will agree that even though he's still half a slave, he's a chetzi eved chetzi ben chayrin, but since we are going to require and force the master to free him, for all intents and purposes, he has the status of a free man, and that's why it says in the Mishnah, hakel chayovim b'ri'ya. So indeed, before Beis Hillel changed their minds, whilst Beis Hillel said he's half eved, half ben chayrin, indeed, avodim she'enam mushuchrarim, since he's partially eved, he's exempt of ri'ya. After Beis Hillel ruled like Beis Shammai and said we're going to force the master to free even the second half of him, they added the word hakel to the Mishnah, hakel chayovim b'ri'ya, even that person is chayev b'ri'ya, because for all intents and purposes, he's about to be freed. Continues the Gemara. Chutz micheresh shoita v'katan chule, we saw in the Mishnah that somebody who is deaf, let's translate cheresh as deaf just for now, shoita, somebody whose mind is not right, v'katan, or a minor, is exempt. They're exempt from all mitzvahs, but because they don't have any das, they don't have the correct level of maturity in their minds, in their knowledge, in their connection, and therefore they're potter. Says the Gemara, Ktoni Cheresh Dumya Deshoita V'Katan. We've written here, this Mishnah, it puts together in the same bracket a deaf person with Shoita and Katan. Ma Shoita V'Katan, in the same way as a Shoita and Katan, everybody understands that the reason they're exempt is Delav B'nei Dea, because their mind are not sufficiently mature to be able to have expectations of them. Af Cheresh, so too, when we speak about a deaf person, what type of deaf person is exempt? Delav Baradeahu, a type of deaf person who is a type of cheresh who his mind is not sufficiently matured. V'kumash malon, and then we would have proof from this Mishnah, kedetnan, like we learned in another Mishnah, that cheresh shedibru chachomim b'kol mokim. Whenever the chachomim spoke about a cheresh, who is somebody who is exempt from all mitzvahs, it's talking about somebody she'enei shemea ve'enei medaber. Not only does he not hear, he also doesn't speak. because we assume that somebody who didn't develop not his speech and not his ability to hear, such a type of person, his das is clearly not developed and he's potter. However, ha, medaber ve'eino shemia, somebody who at some point he was well enough that maybe he was hearing at some point and he managed to learn how to speak, and then he became deaf and now he speaks because he had learned how to speak, ve'eino shemia, and he doesn't hear. Or shemia, he hears, ve'eino medaber, he's mute, he can't speak. And those chayev is chayev because if you can either speak or hear, then your das is sufficiently mature that you're bar chiyuva, you're chayev. If it's eino shemia ve'eino medaber, then we say he doesn't have das. Says the Gemara, and from here we have proof, Tanina, from this Mishnah we have proof, lahadaton rabbonon, to something we learnt in a braisa. The braisa says, hamedaber ve'eino shemia, somebody who speaks but doesn't hear. Zeh cheresh, that's called cheresh. Shemia ve'eino medaber, somebody who hears and doesn't speak, zeh ilim, it's called an ilim, it's what we translate as a mute. Zeh v'zeh, and both of them, harehin kapikchim nechol devrem, they're sensible, mature, healthy people. Like we just saw in our Mishnah, that the only cheresh which is exempt is if he's similar to sheit of a cotton, which means a type of cheresh which doesn't hear and doesn't speak. But if he can do either of those, he's not considered a sheita. Omimai, and what proof would you have? Where would you find in the Torah that somebody who's demedaber ve'ini shemea, somebody who is speaks and doesn't hear, zeu cheresh, that he's called in biblical terms cheresh? Shemea ve'ini medaber, where would you have a source that somebody who hears and doesn't speak, zehu ilim, is considered an ilim in biblical terms? Tichsiv, we have a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says, va'ani, and I am kecheresh loy eshma, like a deaf person who doesn't hear. Uki ilim, like an ilim, a mute person, loy yiftach piv, that doesn't open his mouth. So you see clearly that the word cheresh is attributed to somebody who can't hear, and the word ilim is attributed to somebody who can't speak. And if you want, you can add, you can say, could the Omri Incha, like people say, that the word ilim, aleph lamed mem, which we know means mute, actually spells the word ishtakil milulei. The first and last letters of ishtakil is aleph and lamed, the first letter of milulei is mem, the three being ilim, ishtakil milulei, his speech, his words have been taken from him. That is an ilim. So what did we see from here? That a cheresh shoit of a cotton is a cheresh she'ene medaber ve'ene shemea. If this person is either medaber or shemea, he is not in the same bracket as cheresh shoit of a cotton. Says the Gemara, so what did we just learn? That medaber ve'ene shemea, shemea ve'ene medaber, if a person speaks but doesn't hear, or hears and doesn't speak, chayev, then he's chayev in mitzvahs, and he's chayev, in our context, it would mean he was chayev with ri'ia to come to the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, v'otanya, did we not learn in a braisa explicitly, medaber ve'inu shemea, shemea ve'inu medaber potur? We learned in a braisa that if a person is either can't speak or can't listen, doesn't hear, he's exempt from ri'ia. We just said now that only cheresh shoit of a cotton is a cheresh that is similar to shoit of a cotton, which means that he cannot speak or hear. And now we see in the braisa that if he's missing either one of those faculties, he's exempt from ri'ia. You actually have to read into the Mishnah as follows. This Mishnah is not only talking about the chiyuv ra'iya of Yom Tov, but also besimcha, there's a chiyuv to be happy. The way you're happy is by bringing a shalmei simcha, a korban shlomim, and we're going to learn more about that later. So everybody's chayev, any normal, well, healthy person, is chayev ber'iya ubesimcha. With the oila sariya, come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring the korban oila and simcha v'samachto b'chagecha. Chutz, besides, mecheresh hamedaber ve'enu shemea, shemea ve'enu medaber, shepotur min ha'ri'ya. We have to read into the Mishnah that there's an exemption, but not an exemption of all mitzvahs, like cheresh oita v'katan. No, there's a unique set of exceptions just for ri'ya. Having to come up to the Beis HaMikdash and bring that korban ri'ya has its own set of exemptions, and we're going to learn soon what the sources are. But somebody who either doesn't speak or doesn't hear is exempt from ri'ya. Not because he's ein lo das, but because there's going to be gzeiros hakosuv that teach us that. since the only reason they're exempt is because it's a gzeres hakasuv. That gzeres hakasuv is only by re'iyah. But chayev b'simcha, all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, they're chayev, because we just said now, somebody who either can't hear or can't speak is a normal healthy person. There's a gzeres hakasuv, why he's exempt from re'iyah. But simcha v'samachta b'chagecha, and to bring shalmei simcha, of course he's chayev. However, a type of person who also doesn't hear and also doesn't speak, that is the cheresh, which is similar to the shoita, the cotton. Somebody who's a shoita or a minor and potter, and he's exempt of all mitzvahs. Af min simcha, even from simcha, because they are in the bracket of being that immature that they are not chayev in any mitzvahs of the Torah. Tanya namihoch, we also learned a brisa to this effect. Hakel chayovim b'ri'iyah. Everybody is chayev with re'iyah, u'b'simcha, and with simcha, chutz, besides, for cheresh ha'medaber ve'inu shemea, somebody who doesn't hear, shemea ve'inu medaber, or he doesn't speak. Shepturim in re'iyah, who's exempt from re'iyah, v'afal pi shepotur min re'iyah, even though he's exempt from re'iyah, that's only because of a specific exemption of re'iyah, but chayev b'simcha, he's still chayev to v'samachto b'chagecho, because he's a normal godel for all of the other mitzvahs. However, ve'es she'einu shemea, but if he doesn't hear and doesn't speak, the shoita v'katan, then he's similar to shoita and to katan, the pturin, and they are exempt af min asimcha, also from simcha. So we have an explicit brisa that says exactly what we've read into the Mishnah. And now the Gemara wants to understand. If you say that these people who can either hear or speak, but not both, they're regular people, regular adults that are chayev in mitzvahs, and therefore they're chayev with the mitzvah of a samachta b'chagecha, with simcha on Yom Tov, why should they be potter from re'iyah? What's unique about re'iyah in this context? Says the Gemara, le'inyon re'iyah gomar re'iyah re'iyah mehakil. It's Gzeiros Hakosov, it's Gzeiros Shova from Hakil. In every eighth year of the Shemitah cycle on Sukkos after Shemitah, then there would be a concept called Hakil, where everybody would get together in the Beis HaMikdash, and the king would actually read from the Chumash, from the Mishneh Torah, and that would be Hakil. And regarding Hakil, it says in the Pasuk, Hakil es ha'om. You should gather together the nation, ho anoshim, the men, va anoshim, the women, va taf, and the children, va gerucha, shebishorecho, leman yishmu, leman yilmudu, va yoru es Hashem elekeichem, va shomru lasis, es kol divrei ha-Torah azois. So there it says explicitly in the Pasuk that va yoru, it's got this, we're learning re'iyah, re'iyah. It says by Hakil, that Hakil es ha'om, and there it says in the Pasuk, va yoru es Hashem elekeichem. Uchsiven, it says regarding Aliyah L'Regel, it says, "Bavoy kol Yisrael leirois es pnei Hashem elikecha b'mokim ha'shiyivchor, tikra es ha'toyra hazois neged kol Yisrael ba'ozneim," where there it says that all of Klal Yisrael should come leirois to be seen in the Beis HaMikdash. So we learn the halachas of re'iyah from the halachas of Hakil. And by Hakil, it seems that somebody who either can't see or can't speak would be exempt. And from there we learn that here with re'iyah, these people will also be exempt. The question is, v'hasam min olon? Where do you see in the pasuk that says, leman yishmu, leman yilmudu, where do you see from there that coming to Hakil is for the sake of hearing and for the sake of yilmudu and learning? Where do you see from there that somebody who can't hear or can't speak is exempt? So the Gemara says, d'chsiv, leman yishmu, from the word leman yishmu, that makes a lot of sense. Leman yishmu, in order that you should hear. If you can't hear, you're exempt. Leman yilmadu. And from the words leman yilmadu, that you're coming in order to learn, well, from there it obviously seems to say that somebody who cannot speak cannot learn. We have to understand that. V'tanya, we learned in a braisa on this pasuk, leman yishmu prat lemedaber ve'inu shemea. From leman yishmu says, you're coming to do hakil in order to be able to hear. If you're deaf, you can't hear, you're exempt. Leman yilmadu, and from the words leman yilmadu, prat l'shemea ve'ene medaber. Somebody who hears but cannot speak, we're assuming at this point that anyone who can't speak can't learn. And therefore, when it says leman yilmadu, to be able to learn, then it exempts anybody who cannot speak. So from here we learn that by hakil, if you either can't speak or can't hear, you're exempt. We learn out re'iyah re'iyah from Hakil to Rias for Aliyah L'Regel, and that's why by Aliyah L'Regel, that even though they are not Shoitim, but these people who either cannot hear or cannot speak are exempt. Says the Gemara L'Memra, are you suggesting that somebody who can't speak can't learn? Why would that be true? And I'll prove it to you. There were these two people who couldn't speak. They were in the neighborhood of Rebbe. Bnei Brotei de Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoda. They were the children, the sons of the daughter, that means the grandsons of Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoda. V'omrilo, others say Bnei Achosei de Rabbi Yochanan, it was the child of the sister, the children of the sister of Rabbi Yochanan. But either way, there were two people who were mute. D'chol emas dehavas ayil Rabbi lebei Medrasha, when Rabbi would come into the Beis HaMedrash, have ayilu v'yosfu kamayu, they would come up and sit with him, before him. And they would nod their heads, and their lips would move, but they couldn't speak. Rabbi davened to Hashem to have mercy on them. They became cured and they could speak. And the people found to have a gemiri that they were well versed in Hilchasa, in the Halochas, in the Mishnayas, with Sifra and Sifri, the Kula Ashas, and the whole Mishnayas and everything. They knew everything. So you see clearly that not being able to speak would not mean that you can't learn. So how can you learn from the Pasuk that says, Leman Yilmadu, that you're coming to Hakel in order to learn, that means that somebody who cannot speak is exempt? Why should that be true? Omar Marzutra, Kribe, you're right. From the way that we're supposed to pronounce Yilmadu, it would not exempt them. But the letters of Yilmadu can also be read as Yelamedu, to teach. So when it says Leman Yishmu, Leman Yilmadu, you read it Leman Yishmu, or Leman Yelamedu, in order to teach. And somebody who cannot speak cannot teach. Ravashi Omar, Ravashi says, Vadai Leman Yelamedu. Says, it goes without saying, we can take it for granted that the words Leman Yilmadu are teaching us Leman Yelamedu, that you're coming to be able to teach. Why? I mean, it's not like you thought that it means Leman Yilmadu, because you thought at first Leman Yilmadu means to be able to learn. And then you assumed that somebody who cannot speak also cannot learn. And then you just had the question from those two mute people that we mentioned by Rebbe. Okay, but he says even without the proof, even if you wouldn't be able to prove it from those two mute people that it transpired that they could learn, even without that, in the event that indeed somebody who cannot speak cannot learn, we would still have an issue. If you're really understanding the Braisa, that Leman Yilmadu means you have to be able to learn, and being mute means you cannot learn, and somebody who cannot speak, you cannot learn. If that's what Leman Yilmadu means, then V'kivan de Loi Shomar Loi Gomar, somebody who cannot hear certainly can't learn. So if you're really understanding Yilmadu means that you have to be able to learn, then why do I need Leman Yishmu to say that somebody who cannot hear is exempt from Hakil? Just include him in the bracket of Leman Yilmadu, that you're coming to learn. And obviously somebody who cannot hear, he's not going to learn, because he's nowhere to learn from. He can't hear anything. Hai mi Leman Yishmu Nafka. But we're learning from the Braisa says, from Leman Yishmu you learn that somebody who cannot hear is exempt. So from the very fact, virtue of the fact that Leman Yishmu exempts somebody who cannot hear, it must be that Leman Yilmadu is not exempting somebody who cannot learn, because that's in the same bracket as Leman Yishmu. So it must be Elovade Leman Yilameduhu. It must be the words Leman Yilmadu is teaching us that somebody is exempt from Hakil if he cannot teach. If you cannot teach, then we exempt somebody who cannot speak. And those are the sources why by Hakel and by Aliyah L'Regel, somebody who either cannot hear or cannot speak is exempt. Somebody who both cannot hear and cannot speak, he's exempt from all the Torah, all the mitzvahs in the Torah, because he's got no das, he's like a shoita v'kotten. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.